I'd like to consider this morning the subject of learning, basically. Is anyone in here feel like that they know everything that they need to know? Have you got it all? You feel like it? Nothing else that you need that will help you out any? Or there's a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I kind of hope that ain't true at my age. I know that there is something valid about that you can get, I think it's where the saying comes from. You can be so patterned and get into a certain place that you're just in any capacity to want anything else. I don't think it's a dog can't, but you can get so set in your ways that there's nothing else that you want. And I think that would be a pitiful situation. Some of you heard me talk about this, but Sister Brenda over in Uganda has the children, 10 of them have started school. And it's really encouraged, it's amazing to me even, the desire, the just absolute desire these children had and they have to learn. They want to learn so bad that they just, I never did like school and it was just something that was just hard for me to do. I liked getting out. It wasn't that I didn't want to learn, but I didn't want to learn what they was teaching. But I'm glad that I learned. It's been a great benefit in my life to be able to read and do math and everything that I was taught. It's just I didn't have much of a desire at it, and I'm sure that I didn't do as well at it as I should have done. But these children are just eating it up because they never, none of them had ever been in school before. And when they had the opportunity to go to school, they just love to learn things. They want to go to school. I hope they don't burn out, but right now they are walking an hour and a half every morning to school. And that means they walk an hour and a half back in the evening. And they also, because none of them have ever been in school, the school said they are so far behind and they need to catch up to some kind of a place that they can perform at with the level as other children. They're so far back that they get home after 5 o'clock in the evening and they are going 7 days a week for 3 months to school. And they love it. They want to do it. They want to learn. The way to really learn is to want to. It is really hard to teach. You try it. You try to teach somebody something that they don't want to learn. And find how difficult it is to set somebody down and say, you're going to learn this. You can slap them on the fingers. You can hit them on the head. You can make them learn and give you the right answers in there, but you can't take them any farther than your authority can go. But when you want to learn and you have a passion and a desire to learn, I wonder how much God has for us that we haven't tapped into. I wonder how many things God wants us to understand and how many things that He has for us that would be such a rich blessing in our lives and such a help to us if we only knew it. If we only knew what the Lord was doing. You know, I think the Lord could bring a storm, flash the lightning, the thunder. He could use His authority on us and make us to learn. But that's not the way that God does it either. God wants us to want to. But He does have ways of getting us to the places of wanting to. God loved us first. And He shows that love to us and he gives it to us in many different ways. It is a mistake for us to assume what God's doing. You know, you can be really wrong about your assumption about what God's doing. God has all kind of ways of dealing with people. I want to start with a scripture in Isaiah, the 7th chapter. I'm sorry, 37th. It's in the 30th chapter, 20th verse. It says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed unto a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Now, I don't know exactly how all the ways you could look at this passage of Scripture, but to me it stands out. Obviously, to me, God has teachers. God has ways of teaching us. And if we look at something and say, this is bad, this is wrong, you know, many times God uses these things for teachers. Your eyes shall see your teachers. You're going to have adversity. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. But in it all, you're going to see your teacher. In other words, you're going to be able to learn in the middle of this. There's things that God wants to reveal to our hearts and have it applied to our lives. Things that is very important in the way we live life. What he wants us to do. God wants us to be blessed. And God knows that selfishness will never bless you. Momentarily. Selfish can momentarily gratify you, or you can get a little out of it a year to think you conquered or that you have something. But the long run, selfishness never works. And God knows that it never works. And so God's always continually wanting to deal with these aspects of our life. God knows that pride in our life doesn't work. It may overcome something for a moment, but it don't work long term. And God wants to deal with these things and show them up into our life. And when he says, your eyes shall see your teachers, you're going to be able to understand that this storm that's come into my life is my teacher. This has come in for a purpose. We go back to Romans 8:28, and for we know that all things work together for good. We know that. We use that as an anchor. This that's coming in is coming in for what? It's going to take my livelihood away. It's going to take my friendships away. It's going to, what could be good about it? Your eyes shall see your teacher. You're going to be able to see it when this is all done, and you take the test and you pass. And now you took the test. It used to be cranky, irritable, impatient, and that's the score. That was the mark on the score on my report card. But the Lord sees that thing and says, "We're going to get a better grade. I'm going to get a better grade than that. We're going to show you what, so you can see something valuable in this. So you can put it in its right category. Put it in its right place." This is the valuable place of it. So yeah, you're going to have adversity. You're going to have trouble. These things are going to come into your life. But they don't come from the Lord for no reason. They come for our better understanding of things. It comes for more works of God in our life, better fruits of the Spirit in our life. I was talking this morning a little bit about the different culture of what we live here and what we live of the things that are in the foreign lands that I'm dealing with these people, and my eyes have seen my teachers. I would be shamed to complain about this country. I hear it all the time, but I would be shamed to actually complain and murmur about the situation that I have, because I see. My eyes have seen the teachers. God has brought people into my life. And I have not only brought them in my life, but... Well, I'll say this to you so you can understand my burden. What is the best way to really learn something? textbook, right? They have books that you can go and read about it. You know, Tyra was doing the mechanic thing, that, and the best way to learn how to do that is to go read about it. Well, what is the best way? What's the best way to learn? It's to experience it, isn't it? Isn't the best way to learn anything is to do it, to experience it? Well, do you know it's really like that with all of life? Listen, I had the opportunity. I did never counter it a pleasant or a good place in my life. But I had the opportunity to be somebody here that has lost a companion. Not everybody has. I'm not saying you can't understand some things about it. You can be sympathetic about it. But I'll challenge you that you can know it like I know it. Because what I understand comes from the emotions that come with it too. The feelings, the understandings, all of those comes in it. It impresses deeply into me the understanding of actually, yeah, I've heard other people say they went through it before I did, and I had a knowledge of what they went through, but I didn't understand it like I understand it now. I can tell people that are going through it now, I can tell them something. I got something to say about the feelings that you can have, the guilt that can come on you, the feelings about something. I understand it because I lived it. You know, experiencing it is what the Lord really, the Lord wants us to experience these things. I've heard about, I know about people that was malnourished, and I heard about people that was starving and all of that. All that kind of stuff. You know, when I started meeting people, and God put in there also a very deep love and compassion for them too. It was not of me. God started putting something in me that was there, and I started feeling like that child was my child. Hey, think about your child starving to death. Think about that. When you really start feeling those feelings, it gives you an understanding. God wants to teach you. He says your eyes are going to see your teachers. You follow along with the Lord with an honest heart. And the things that come into your life are meant for an understanding. Even if you can't articulate and do anything about it, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll change the way you view things. Do you think the Lord could possibly, I'm going to say, don't judge the Lord too quickly. Do you think the Lord could draw back and allow you to fail in something? I know you're saying, Brother Marty, you're blaming it on the Lord for your failures. Well, I'll take my failures. Everybody knows. But you think God would draw back and allow you to fail? Why? Sure he would. Why? So that you'll look at people with failures right. So that you can have compassion when your brother does something that isn't quite up to what it should be. And then you look and instead of you saying, you're in trouble now. That you shouldn't. You would say, God have mercy on us. Lord help us. I've been in the same kind of place. Of course the Lord's going to do that. You know, I like to tell it. Everybody knows my story, but so I'm going to repeat it anyway. The time that me and my first wife was coming off of Miller Mountain, and we had been having our little disagreements here and there and yonder, and all of a sudden it boiled over, and me and 55 mile an hour, I was saved. First year, I was saved. I'm coming down off the mountain, and I locked that car up and went sliding down the road and slid it into a wide place. I'm still ashamed of it. It was an awful, ugly thing to do for somebody that claimed to be a Christian. But I'm going to tell you something. That was not bad for me in the long run. That showed me that I had things in me. I need the Lord. What it showed me is you can't go along in life without the Lord. If you think that you've got it now and all the understanding that you need, and I got all the grace that I need, and I got everything that I need, you end up with sliding the car down the road, or you end up in a situation somewhere because the Lord's going to show you, you ain't going to make it through here without me. You can't do that without me. And as I'm looking, one day I was out and the apples was on the tree, and it was a nice apple, and I got this apple. I'm sorry, it wasn't on the tree, it was on the ground, but it used to be on the tree. But it was on the ground, and it was bruised on one side, and it was a nice apple, and I bit into the apple, and it was real good, and I really didn't want to eat an apple, but I didn't want that one to really waste. It was kind of like it was, and I bet, well, it was really good. I took a couple of bites, and I started to throw that. Listen, I'm just telling you. I started to throw that apple, and I couldn't hardly do it because I had been talking with these people that are so hungry, so destitute. I know that apple meant nothing, and I couldn't throw it. I couldn't throw it far enough to get to where they're at. But I couldn't hardly throw that apple away with a couple more good bites on it. Does it mean anything? No. But it says something. It says there's something down in your heart. I don't think Brother Michael would mind me mentioning this, but he told me one time he went on a mission trip to Africa. And he was over there for a couple of weeks, and he come back, and they had went to Lambert's, and he told me this openly, so I think it'd be okay to tell it. But he said he went to Lambert's, and at Lambert's there's a lot of, and he said there was food on the floor, and that's where they throw the rolls, and they catch the rolls sometimes. Sometimes they miss them, and there's rolls laying around on the floor. And he said he wasn't condemning anybody, and he didn't blame anybody for anything, but he said, I will never go back there. I can't take it. I'm saying that it does something to you. You know what I'm saying? I've seen my teachers. It's changed and altered the way I perceive things. And now I look at somebody that's drunk and wallowing around and or on drugs or something like that. I don't think condemnation. I don't think that anymore. I think Jesus can get a hold of you. Now I think about somebody, I caught somebody in a couple of lies. And there had been a time that it was just a liar and that, and it kind of up in the lies, and all they think about it is, oh, they need the Lord to help them. They need the Lord to help them. Now come on, none of us has been any less than 100% truthful all the time. Never even do those little things that we do to a husband and wife to where, you know, the phone's ringing, but I'm a sound asleep now because I want to get up and get it. You get it. None of those. No, I'm going to tell you, God will show you. God's got teachers. Go to see the teacher. I remember one brother saying something about baby needed change, and all of a sudden he was sound asleep over there. Couldn't be woke up. Too tired. Lord, help us. God wants to show us the teachers. God deal with you long enough, and those elements like that will be, let me get the phone for you. Let me step a foot forward and be the one that reaches out. Let me help somebody if I can. But Sister Laura had mentioned a week ago, something about going to the nursing home. I'd love to do that. You know what comes into my mind? I'm not saying I'm just doing it for this, because Linda and I have always really loved to go and pray with people and do that. So I really would like to do that. But you know what always comes to my mind? Maybe if I visit them while they're there needing something, that somebody will visit me when I get in there. Well, I don't know if that's going to be my end or not, but it could be. But I'm going to tell you, you probably will never really know what it's like to be in there until you're in there, unless the Lord sends you your teachers. And what the Lord will do is put you into a position that you can understand that with the emotions and the feelings so that you can carry it out. Because you won't have the desire to do it if you don't really have the passion for it. You won't really feel that way if you can't feel what it's like to be hungry. If you can't feel like what it's to be in need. If you can't open your heart. God will send the teachers for that. And it comes in adversities and difficulties. And it comes in pressures. And it comes in all those things. And it will teach. At least it opens our heart up to hear, to listen, for God to do something with us. So the Lord wants us to see our teachers. I'm going to tell you, the best teachers are our people. They're teaching you, just don't know they're teaching you. And sometimes they're teaching you through opposite ways. Sometimes, Linda and I have had a saying over the years. We've had a number of times to where people done things to where we said, ouch. That didn't feel good. But our response was, now I know how that feels. And I'm not going to be guilty of doing somebody else that way. Lord, help me not to do anybody that way because I understand how it feels. The whole idea of the scripture of do unto others as you would have them do unto you is captivated in the thought that you understand what hurt is and you would not hurt somebody else. If I feel like that is not something I'd want somebody to do to me, I wouldn't do it to them. I don't want it that. If I talk behind their back, they won't know. It doesn't make any difference. That's not what the scripture's saying. The scripture is saying if you wouldn't want them to do that to you, don't do it. And when you've had it done, and then all of a sudden, you know, the information's bad, and it was wrong. It didn't capture my whole real heart and all those things. And you say, ouch, and you say, no, I won't do that to my brother. And you learn. And the Lord sends the teacher sometimes that way. And yes, the Lord will allow you to fail sometimes in your life to be taught to go higher, to be taught to go closer, to get closer to the Lord. What can we accomplish without being hooked to Him? The scripture says without Him we can do, without me, He said, what, 15th chapter of John, without me you can do nothing. Nothing if you're not hooked to the vine, nothing. But the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I just need to be taught. I just need to know how to do it. Oh, if you have a passionate desire, the Lord will teach you. If you really want to know and learn and be able to do these things, the Lord will. The Lord will send the teachers. And sometimes it's as small as an insect. Sometimes it's a bite of a spider. Sometimes, I'm telling you, the Lord can teach the valuable lesson. Jesus was so good at teaching people. He used parables. He knew what was inside. He knew how to do it. He had experienced it, and he knew how to do it. I want to look at another scripture in Job. The 42nd chapter of Job. I think sometimes on this subject that I think about, some of you didn't know him, of course, but I think about Brother Jim quite a bit. And when I think about the idea of, you shall see your teachers. I thought about how Brother Jen got that cancer there on his face and how he had told me one day it was right to where every morning he looked into the mirror, he couldn't get rid of it. It wasn't like it was in a place that if he didn't feel it, he didn't know it. He'd look in the mirror and there it was, always reminding him, there's a teacher, there's a teacher. Lord, every morning, Lord, I need you. Every morning he'd look in there and that old cancer be inflamed or whatever. Every morning he'd say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. You know, that cancer never went very far. It didn't kill him. He had it for, it was something like 13 or 17 years. I think it was 13 years he told me he ended up. By the time he died, it was about 13 years. He had that there. It never killed him. When he died, you could have covered it with the end of your little finger. It wasn't ever, it got big, got low, it was like there. Do you know that was nothing more than a teacher? God gave him a teacher and said, and he told that cancer, you're going to behave yourself and do what I tell you. That's all the further you're going to go. You're going to go just to teach. And it was a teacher to him. And he would acknowledge it every once in a while, but it was a teacher. It taught him to trust in the Lord, taught him to look to God, that I need the Lord in my life. A number of times we prayed that thing back, and it shrunk back down. But it was a teacher. Over here in the book of Job, I want to go a little bit about Job. Job, God testified about Job. And he said to Satan, have you considered Job, an upright man? He hates evil. He loves the right. Have you considered him? His answer to him was, yes. But you've got a hedge around him until I can't even get to him. You know, that's a precious place to think about. That God's got a hedge around us. Do you know for Job's own good, he released the hedge? This was just not a game being played. See, there's always so much more that we don't understand about God. You don't know everything about God. You don't. As a matter of fact, I doubt if you really know very much about him, actually. He's given us a volume to learn, and Jesus came that we could know him better. But there's a lot about God. So here's the story of Job, as we know it. God gave Satan permission to touch his things, his life, his body. But God saw Job altogether. He knew he was an upright man. He knew he hated evil. But he also knew that he wasn't perfect and he didn't know it all and he needed to learn more. He defined down into his life who he was and still said, even Job, with the patience of Job, after all of this, he even didn't charge God foolishly. Even in the middle of all of that, he saw something in Job he wanted to correct. And so he allowed this scenario to happen. If you remember the story, Job is in sackcloth and ashes. Even his wife says to him, curse God and die. He got some friends that came to visit him. Job's friends needed a teacher, right? Job needed a teacher, and these friends needed a teacher. So here was the assumption, and probably everybody in here has had some, I would say, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but I wouldn't be surprised that everybody in here hasn't misjudged God in this way, some way or another. They assumed because bad things was happening that God was displeased. That was the assumption. Hey, I've run into it a number of times in my life. We had people say when Tammy got sick with cancer is that, yeah, we'll look at their religion and we'll see what it caused. Well, that was the normal idea that if bad things are happening to you, it comes from the idolatry did the same thing. You appease the gods and bad things don't happen to you. So the assumption was from God that bad things was happening and this can't be God. That's not true. These things can happen because God loves you. Because he's a good God. Not because he's a bad one. These things ain't happening that. Job wasn't cursed. They were saying that God has given up on you, and the only reason God, this was their judgment, the only reason God would allow these things to happen to you is because you've sinned against God. God is displeased with you, Job. They spent chapter after chapter of Job trying to convince Job that he had done something wrong, and this was the nature of God. Folks, this is not the nature of God. God's nature is not that he quits loving you because you're imperfect. That is the nature of a lot of other gods, but it isn't the nature of the true God. God loves you no matter what you do. He expects something, sure. There's a plan to make you right for eternity, sure. But God doesn't, you don't have to pay God for it. That's not the nature of God. So here's the story of Job. And Job comes to this situation. He was an upright man, perfect in his day. He always needed a little more. Noah was the same way. Job was the same way. Here in the 42nd verse 1, in the 42nd chapter of Job, then Job answered the Lord. Now the Lord had got through telling Job at different places, finally got down to Job and said things like this. All right, Job, where was you when I created the world? Get right down to Job. If I was hungry, would I ask you to feed me? Job, think about this. What did you have to do with me making of the great creatures of the world? I'm paraphrasing, but the great creatures that I've made, what advice did you give me for me to make them? None. Job, get in your position, get in your place. I'm God. So after God gets through talking with Job and telling Job where he's at in that, then Job responds and says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do us everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Do you know it took an experience to get this to Job? God would probably have done it in an easy way if he could have. It took that. You say, I don't want boils from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. From the crown to the sole, had boils all over him. Linda, how about that? Linda don't like boils. She's had a few boils, but boils are, they are painful. He had boils. You know what a boil was here? Now stay with me. Thy teacher. You're going to see your teacher. I'm not going to leave you in that place. I'm going to send you a teacher. I'm going to send you something that will qualify the experience in your life. And he says, I never had experience. Job, a faithful man, loved God. God testified for him. But he still said, my experience was lacking until you sent me this. You sent me my teachers, and now it's the difference between I've heard of you, and now my eyes have seen the difference. Now my eyes have seen you. I have understood you. Lord, I know now what your character and what your way is. If you have any doubt about this passage of Scripture, it goes on and says of these friends. Sixth verse says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is how he saw himself afterward, was this, that I hate that I said what I said after in comparison to this. And it says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. See, they thought that the traditional, the way it had to be, there is no exception. Job, you have to understand this. These bad things had to have happened because you sinned against God. It had to happen because God's displeased with you. It has to be that way. They argued it and argued it. It has to be that. This is the nature of God. And God said, I'm displeased. You misrepresented me. Folks, sometimes God, there is times that I am convinced I've seen something that looks very, very bad in people's lives. And I said, I ain't a bit surprised. Wait a minute. Then I have to recalculate. Because, no, I'm not surprised. But not that way. I'm not surprised that God's loving them. I'm not surprised that God is reaching. God is wanting. God isn't trying to bring wrath on. Jesus made it plain. You remember when the disciples came and said there was these people that was doing these things, and he said, do you want us to call fire down on them? And Jesus was astounded. What do you call fire down on? I said, call fire down on you. I didn't come to call fire down on people. I come that they might be saved. I'm not condemning the people. I'm coming that they might be saved from their problems. If Jesus has that mind, then Lord, help us have that mind too. Lord wants us to see it. I'm going to tell you, don't think that I can just gravitate into this kind of a place, or that I can, by the will of my own person, make myself to be something, because I won't even choose to be those things. God gives us experiences. He lets us see our teachers. And our teachers brings us to the place that now I know, I understand, I feel. I can feel somebody else's hurt. I can feel what's happening. And as I can say in the times that I've had failures, with tears streaming down my face, begging God to have mercy on me. I want to be saved. The same tears can flow for somebody else. Lord, have mercy on them. Do you know what we'll do sometimes as humans because we're calculated to do it? Jesus qualifies it. We'll say things like, you want me to forgive you? I forgave you this time. I forgave you this, and I forgave you this. And here you are again. And the Lord forgave me this, for this, for this, and this, and my appreciation is large. Lord, I don't deserve being forgiven. I don't deserve it. But the Lord gives it anyway. And then when he was asked, how often? Brother Mansell, should we forgive our brother? 70 times 7 in a day? Nay, he says, oh, 70 times 7 in a day. 7 times. Oh, I'm sorry. Got that wrong. He said 7 times. He said, no, not 7 times. But I say 70 times 7. Perfectly and totally. There's no limit to that. You can't run out with that. Perfectly and forgiving, because that's the way I forgive you. And now, instead of us feeling that, I've seen my teachers. My teachers should have taught me by now that I owe God more than you owe me. My debt to God is way more than you can ever run up on me, because we're human and we're fallible, but God's not. And what we've done to God, the injustice is enormous because he's holy. So we should forgive one another. I need to see, you know what? You need to see your teachings. You need to come to the place that you really need forgiven and you understand it. And God will bring those kind of places into your life. We'll look at sometimes somebody, if we're not careful, and say they're so weak. They're so weak in this. They've just never been able to get a hold of it. I've heard that comment and said, well, they never could just quite get a hold of things. Almost dismissive. Is there anything that you've had trouble getting a hold of? I know that's right, but I just can't get a hold of it. Just, I need more than a head knowledge about this, because I need to have this. I need to have this in my heart, because I can't do it with my head. I know what it is, but I can't get. I need to want to do it. I ain't got to want to do it, and I wrestle because the only thing I got is a head knowledge. I don't like to make hypocrites of anybody, so I don't push the head knowledge thing. I say get an experience and let the teachers come, and then it'll teach you. It's all about living for God. It's all about having the Lord, the inspiration of our lives, and the Lord to say, because, be honest with you, I love everybody here. This is a fabulous congregation. I just love being here. I'm glad we're here. But I don't really trust anybody in here to lead me to be my teacher and to tell. I'm just going to tell you, I've had people tell me wrong before. But the Lord knows how to send the teachers. And he has promised in the middle of this that our eyes shall see our teachers. If we have needs and places in our life, I'm going to assure you something. God has testified and promised that our eyes will see our teachers. If you wait long enough, you'll be able to see and be taught of the Lord. And the spiritual teaching is unlike natural teaching in this element, that in natural element, really in most things, you don't need to have an emotion or a feeling about it or a desire for it. You can learn how to add numbers without that and get a right answer. But in the spiritual world, it is not like that. The learning is a different kind of learning. It's a learning of an inner being. And you can know what's right by that. You can not be taught and it motivate. And I ain't saying we live by feelings, because it isn't just by feelings. But we are emotional beings, and God connects that with the experiences of our life. And it is so true. I have a friend, some of you know him here, but I say a friend, some young guy that I've enjoyed over the years, that Sid Zacharias, he trains horses. And they've come to determine this. He's very good at it. Okay? He can get a wild horse from Nevada range and have that horse sitting down, rolling over, doing tricks in a very short time. He really knows the language, if you will. But he told me something that was very, very interesting. He said, you have to realize that what a horse is doing, what's going on in a horse. And he doesn't think and process like we do. He said, if you do something that makes the horse feel good, he remembers that motion as being something that's good. And if you do it to bad, the first impression you give a horse, if it scares the horse, a certain thing you do, it's locked in that thing is dangerous. If you flash that up to a horse and that it scares him, then his memory is always to run from that, because he's linked into the way the feelings of a horse goes. This is what he said. He's a teacher of this kind of stuff. And then he says to me something like, Brother Marty, you need to remember this, because women's a lot that way too. He said, you'd be surprised, because I asked him, I said, why is it that you see such a connection between girls and horses? This is true, everybody knows this, right? Guys like horses too a lot, but there is a connection between girls and horses. And I asked Sid, why is that too? And he said, that is not just by accident or by chance. Because a horse's emotions and a woman's emotions, girl's emotions, connect. Okay, I ain't going too far off in the weeds with this. I'm just telling you what a good horse trainer is telling me about how he deals with this. But I will say this, I have learned that the Lord does use this to connect us into the way we live for Him. You don't really, just by your head knowledge, do anything very well. You need passion. If you don't really have a passion to do things, you don't do them, or you don't do them well. It takes an inner passion and a desire and understanding, to an emotion. And when that emotion is stirred, it's a real place for God to work with us. God's going to send our teachers. God's going to send our teachers, and He's going to be able to touch us and help us if we live faithfully to Him. But I'm going to say this again. If you don't want to know the things of the Lord, you won't know them. If you don't approach your schooling the way these children in Africa are, you're going to be diminished in what you learn. If you want to go to this school and you want to learn, and you really want to learn and understand, well, the sky's the limit. The Lord will teach you. It isn't all articulable, but a lot of it becomes articulable, and you will bless a lot more people than just you when you really understand it. And the Lord will put many people through schools for different things, and then all of a sudden they're the one that can answer. I've had people say, I've just had people call me and talk to me and said that somebody told me, they told me to go talk to you because you know what it's like to lose your wife. And I lost my wife. I wanted, and so it goes on that you know something about it. You would go to somebody that understands it because they've been there and done that. I have mechanical problems, and I don't go to the dentist and ask him about, hey, my car is making a certain noise. I go up there and say, hey, this tooth's hurting. I'm going to do that because it's what he knows about. You go to the ones that understand it, and God wants us to see our teachers. And you know what he wants to do after we see the teachers? Become teachers. That's what he wants us to be able to spread that and become teachers to. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.